Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 17 April 2025, 2 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 John. 2 John. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. A prayer request for all of you. To remind you once again that the evangelism team will be out at Indian Springs this Saturday, and pray for them that they will be channels of God's grace, tools in God's hands. Pray that the grace gospel is given clearly and accurately. Pray that there are no distractions as the grace gospel is given. And also pray that God would draw by his hand of grace all the people that are supposed to be there and prepare their hearts that many sons might be brought into glory. That's this Saturday. And then we have an update on the Las Ventanas update. Rich Blair, came down with leprosy, wasn't able to go and conduct the Heaven series, so Jamie Vertry stepped in. You don't have leprosy, do you? Okay. Jamie Vertry filled in for Rich Blair in conducting the Heaven special at Las Ventanas Wednesday. Linda, Dorothy, Donna, Nancy, Joanne, and then we got D-O-N-A. Is that Donna? Oh, it's a different spell, Donna. Okay. Well, Donna, Nancy, Joanne, and Donna again, but D-O-N-A. They were all there. They love the class, and they are very positive. They aren't there for a social hour. They are there to learn the Word of God. To start out, we read the UBC Easter card together. Some of the ladies took extra cards to give to family and friends. Rhonda, who helps with activities, took the rest, about 20, to hand out on Easter. We listened to the first half of Lesson 9, where the pastor, whoever that Yehu is, where the pastor reviewed the differences between our human body and the resurrection body. There is no comparison. He taught how important it is for the believer in Jesus Christ to have a personal sense of destiny and maintain the eternal perspective. Because you see, our human body is very temporary. Not only the temporary, it's just a skene, a tent. And while we're here in time, we will have suffering in this life. And therefore, as you have that personal sense of destiny, you will long, and we had that word last night, the verb epipotheo. We had the noun epipothesis, but the verb is found in 2 Corinthians 5:1 through 4. With a personal sense of destiny, you will long to be clothed with your resurrection body. That's 2 Corinthians 5:1 through 4. And then Pastor mentioned this in his lesson last night while he was teaching 2 Corinthians 7, verse 7. Titus reported to Paul how the believers in Corinth, well, what did they do first? They rebounded, got back in fellowship, changed their mental attitude from negative volition to positive volition, changed their negative attitude from arrogance to humility, and now they know that they were 100% wrong and that Paul was 100% right. And so now they long, epipotheo, for Paul. Come back, Paul, and teach us more of the Word of God. And then Rhonda asked us to pray for Linda Clayton. Linda Clayton. So did you put her on the prayer list? We need to put Linda Clayton, her mom, and their family. Linda is the activities director, and her mother just went into hospice care. Thank you all for your prayers. We can see God at work at Las Ventanas. Jamie Vertrees. All right. 2 John chapter. I hope you're on the right chapter. That's all I can say. How about the right verse? Corrected translation starting at verse 4. You are right on top of it, you see. Verse 4, I was very happy because I have found that some of your children keep on walking in the absolute truth of the Word of God, just as we have received the mandate to do so from the Father, God the Father. Verse 5, and as things now stand, great lady, I make a request of you, not as writing to you a new mandate, but the mandate which we have had from the beginning, namely, that we love one another. This is the great functional virtue of impersonal love for all. Verse 6. And this is virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all and loving one another. Namely, that we keep on walking, living the spiritual life according to the norms and standards of His mandates, God's mandates in the Word of God. And this is the mandate, just as you have heard from the beginning, namely, that you should keep on walking in it, in virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all, and loving one another. That's verses 4 through 6. And the Apostle John, in 2 John 4 through 6, is putting the spotlight on the great functional virtue of impersonal love for all. And not just in, he taught it in all throughout 1 John, he taught it in 2 John, he'll teach it in 3 John, but all throughout the New Testament scriptures, God puts the spotlight on virtue love, and specifically on impersonal love for all mankind. Hebrews 13:1, let love of the brethren, the royal family, continue. Romans 12:9-10, let virtue love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Romans 13:8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have, by means of obedience to Bible doctrine, purified your souls for an unhypocritical love of the brethren, then fervently love one another from your heart. 1 John 3:11, for this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And this mandate to love one another with impersonal love for all comes directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. And John was right there when the Lord Jesus Christ taught this in John 13, 34 and 35, John 15, 9 through 12 and verse 17, in 1 John 3, 23, and this is his commandment. And this commandment is made up of two parts. Part one is a commandment for the whole human race, that we believe in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. The second commandment is for all those who believe in Christ and love one another just as he, Jesus Christ, commanded us. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, because virtue love is from God. 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God loves us, first class condition, and he does love us, we have also become obligated to love one another. 1 John 4:20 and 21, if someone says, I love God, and a lot of people say that, and yet he hates his fellow believer, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his fellow believer, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should also love his fellow believer. Impersonal love for all is unconditional love. As a result of attaining spiritual maturity, the believer now has grace righteousness. Grace righteousness is a synonym for spiritual maturity. Grace righteousness means that now you have in your soul virtue and honor and integrity. That grace righteousness is the basis for having unconditional, impersonal love for all. Impersonal love for all does not depend on reciprocation or attractiveness. Impersonal love for all is the key problem-solving device for all human relationships. However, no impersonal love for all means you will have friendship problems. No impersonal love for all means you will have marriage problems. No impersonal love for all means you will have people problems in every area of life. But when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, now you have the ability to solve all of these problems, because impersonal love for all solves all people problems. The emphasis of impersonal love for all is on the virtue and the honor and the integrity of the subject, the one doing the loving. For that is the grace-righteous believer, the spiritually mature believer. No impersonal love for all means you have no problem-solving devices to solve people problems. No impersonal love for all means you will be very unstable and inconsistent in your life. And that means that when the pressure gets too great, well, you will quit. The worst thing you can ever do is quit. Don't quit. Drop out. Run away. You will quit your job. You will prove to be unfaithful, unreliable, undependable. You will fail to fulfill your responsibility because the pressure is too great or the problems are too great. You will get a divorce. You will separate from friends. To have impersonal love for all mankind, you must have attained grace righteousness, spiritual maturity. And then, when that is true, then you will live your life by the Royal Family Honor Code. When you attain grace righteousness, you will have integrity, honor, character, nobility of soul, great virtue. Impersonal love emphasizes the virtue, honor, integrity of the one doing the loving, rather than the status of the object. Impersonal love does not depend on who and what the object is. In impersonal love, the virtue of the subject is greater than the repugnance of the object. And God is infinite virtue love. And God loved the whole world with infinite impersonal love for all. John 3:16. God loved the world, the whole world, in spiritual death and total depravity. Loved the whole world so much that he gave his uniquely born son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. Impersonal love is one of the last virtues developed in the spiritual life. Impersonal love is motivated by your personal love for God. That's the great motivational virtue. And is sustained by consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. Impersonal love is the problem solver of all personal relationships. Impersonal love manifests tolerance and courtesy. and sensitivity and a relaxed mental attitude to others. Impersonal love is free from mental attitude sins and free from sins of the tongue. Impersonal love is the converter for applying the Word of God to people. Impersonal love is an unconditional guarantee that all members of the human race will be recipients of integrity, honor, and virtue without discrimination. Dynamic spiritual living results in application of impersonal love to your relationships with people. God invented impersonal love to be absolutely unique. He invented it to have impact in the entire world. Great visible impact toward man and toward angels. Impersonal love for all mankind cannot function until you first of all develop personal love for God. Impersonal love is non-discriminating. Impersonal love is free from prejudice. Impersonal love is unconditional. Impersonal love is non-hypocritical. Impersonal love provides objectivity in personal relationships with all people. It is only a virtue when it's directed toward everyone. When you make one exception, you no longer have impersonal love. Instead, you are arrogant, and you're out of fellowship with God, and you're now living in Satan's cosmic system. You cannot have impersonal love. You cannot base impersonal love on what people do to you. Impersonal love is not influenced by the hostile or antagonistic attitude of others. Impersonal love is directed toward friends and enemies. Impersonal love is a key component of the believer's royal ambassadorship. God has given us two royal commissions. God commissioned us a royal priest, the universal priesthood of the believer, to represent ourselves before God. And he has commissioned us a royal ambassador to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Impersonal love is the highest form of virtue in human interaction, and demands that the believer live the unique spiritual life of the church age by the grace and by the power of God. By the grace and power of God. Now let's notice the concept, the integrity of impersonal love. The integrity of impersonal love. And we're going to start with the integrity of God. Now, God is infinite virtue love. God is infinite virtue love. And God is holy. That is, God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. That absolute righteousness and perfect justice is the basis of God's this is how God has impersonal love for the whole world, for all mankind. To the whole world in spiritual death and total depravity. How can he do that? Because he has absolute righteousness and perfect justice, and that motivates him to have impersonal love for all. So point one, the integrity of God the Father motivated His impersonal love for all mankind. The integrity of God the Father motivated His impersonal love for all mankind in designing the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross. So point one, the integrity of God the Father motivated His impersonal love for all mankind in designing the plan of salvation, Operation Grace the Cross. Two, the integrity of God the Son. The integrity of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, motivated Him to go to the cross and receive the imputation of the world's sins in His own body, and then to receive the judgment for those sins. So the integrity of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, motivated Him to go to the cross and receive the imputation of the world's sins in His own body and the judgment for those sins. This is Jesus Christ's impersonal love for all mankind. Three, God the Father and God the Son put integrity first. God the Father and God the Son put integrity first in manifesting impersonal love for the entire world in Operation Grace the Cross. Now God commands you, the believer, to put integrity first by manifesting impersonal love for all. So God the Father and God the Son put integrity first in manifesting impersonal love for the whole world in spiritual death and total depravity in Operation Grace the Cross. So now God commands the believer to put integrity first by manifesting impersonal love for all. Four, the integrity of God as the motivator for His impersonal love for all mankind. The integrity of God as the motivator for His impersonal love for all mankind is the basis for the mandate to us. This is the basis for the mandate to us, the royal family of God, to have impersonal love for all mankind. Again, point four, the integrity of God as the motivator for His impersonal love for all mankind is the basis for the mandate to us, the royal family of God, to have impersonal love for all mankind. Five, impersonal love is the function of your integrity, your grace righteousness, your royal family honor code that you live by. Impersonal love is the function of your integrity, your grace righteousness to others. Six, impersonal love is grace righteousness. It is the grace function and thoughtfulness and relaxed mental attitude directed toward others. Impersonal love is grace righteousness. It is the grace function, thoughtfulness, and relaxed mental attitude directed toward others. Seven, impersonal love never never love people because of who and what they are. But rather, it is the function of one's integrity, one's grace, righteousness. It is you living by the royal family honor code. When you reach spiritual maturity and grace, righteousness, you now have a code of honor, a code of honor in your heart, the royal family honor code. So impersonal love never loved people because of who and what they are. But rather, it is the function of one's integrity, one's grace, righteousness. You're now living your life according to the royal family honor code. You have a code of honor in your soul. That's the integrity of impersonal love. Next, I want to take a look at the source of impersonal love. The source of impersonal love for all mankind. One, the source of impersonal love demands the grace and power of God. Not who and what you are, not energy of the flesh. The source of impersonal love is, first of all, the grace and power of God. Two, the source of impersonal love is the believer living the unique spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skills, advancing to spiritual maturity, grace, righteousness, and having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. So two, the source of impersonal love is the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual scale, advancing to spiritual maturity, grace, righteousness, having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. That's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. The great motivational virtue, personal love for God the Father, which motivates the great functional virtue, impersonal love for all mankind and occupation with Jesus Christ. Three, the source of impersonal love is the fruit of the Spirit. The source of impersonal love is the fruit of the Spirit. Turn over to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. You see, the source of impersonal love, the first point, is the grace and power of God. And we have been given, at the moment of salvation, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. That serves as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, and the power to live the unique spiritual life is the power of God the Holy Spirit. So we have a mandate. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Keep on walking by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. Now, when you are living your life by the power of God the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is produced in you and through you. What is that fruit of the Spirit? Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. The first word, love. That's virtue love. The fruit of the Spirit is virtue love. Now, when you have a list like this, the first words, all the words that follow it, are different characteristics of that first word. So the fruit of the Spirit is virtue love. And now we have characteristics of virtue love. Happiness plus H. You see, virtue love includes occupation with Christ. The other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is sharing the happiness of God. The fruit of the Spirit is virtue, love, and happiness, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and generosity, and faithfulness, and tolerance, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. All of these are characteristics of virtue, love. So the source of impersonal love is the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. 4. The source of impersonal love is maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. The source of impersonal love is maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. And this is in 1 Peter 1:22. 1 Peter 1:22. Verse 22 says, "Now that you have purified your souls," how? "By obedience to the truth." By obedience to the truth. "So that you have a genuine love for your brothers, impersonal love for all. Therefore, love one another deeply." Love one another deeply from the heart. How are you able to do that? You have purified your souls by obedience to the truth. Consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. "But may the Lord cause you to increase and to overflow with love for one another and for all, just as we also do for you." 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. "Now concerning love for the brethren, the royal family, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves keep on being God taught. This is the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit in grace perspicacity. Consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God. You keep on being God taught to love one another. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3. "We are obligated always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, royal family, as it is fitting, because that which is believed by you, the Word of God, Bible doctrine, is increasing abundantly, maximum metabolized doctrine in their hearts. And the love of each one of you toward one another is growing ever greater as a result of your consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine." Next, we want to take a look at the fact that when you have impersonal love for all, that results in reconciliation. Reconciliation is a great, great word. Great doctrinal word. Reconciliation. And it means to remove barriers. The Lord Jesus Christ and His work on the cross, one area of His work was directed toward man. He removed the barrier between God and man by His work on the cross. Now, in your personal relationships with people, their barriers come in. But when you have impersonal love for all, through reconciliation, you just tear down those barriers. That is a great, you tear down barriers. Now, if you don't have impersonal love for all, you just build barriers. And it's sad to say, but this goes on in marriages today. There's no impersonal love for all. And by the way, if you're single, the most important thing, number one thing for you is to find a sound Bible teaching church, assemble consistently and faithfully, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. That's more important than anything else. If you're single, the most important thing you can do is have grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and get virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Because, and then don't worry about who you're going to marry. God will bring you the right person. And make sure you must have impersonal love for all. But here's another thing. Make sure the other person, one, is a believer in Jesus Christ. And two, that person loves God and the Word of God and has impersonal virtue love brought to completion in their heart too. When you have that, it's a slam dunk. Slam dunk. You will have a very, very successful marriage, happy marriage, just as Jesus Christ created it and meant it to be. So, here's the key. Impersonal love results in reconciliation and the removal of barriers. Now, we taught this back in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 7, we have a section dealing on marriage. And when you get down to the end here in verses 15 and 16, 1 Corinthians 7, 15 and 16, this is the corrected translation. But if the unbelieving one, now there are people who marry unbelievers. My mother married my father who was an unbeliever. My mother was a believer in Jesus Christ. My father was an unbeliever in Jesus Christ. He was an unbeliever. Mom was a believer. They got married. They had lots of problems. Lots of problems in their marriage. But one thing I'll say about my mom was positive to God and the Word of God. And she assembled in a great, sound Bible teaching church. And she was there every time for Bible class, learning the Word of God, learning the Word of God, learning the Word of God. And she loved my dad with impersonal love for all. He was an unbeliever, but she loved my dad with impersonal love for all. Now, here we have this. But if the unbelieving one, here you are, you've married an unbeliever. If that unbeliever that you are married to keeps on separating himself from his spouse, first class condition, and some are, and that's they're doing so by divorce or by desertion or divorce, then let him keep on, let him go. If you're a female who is a believer in Jesus Christ and you married an unbeliever and he is deserting you or divorcing you, let him go. Then let him keep on separating himself. The brother, the believer, or the sister, the believing mate, is not bound in such cases. But God has elected us to peace. That is reconciliation. God has elected us to peace, reconciliation, impersonal love for all in our thinking. So, verse 16. Attention, Christian wives who are married to unbeliever husbands. For what do you know whether you will save your husband? Or attention, Christian husbands who are married to unbeliever wives. What do you know whether you will save your wife? Well, this is the exact verse illustrating my mom, a believer in Jesus Christ, who loved God, who loved the Word of God, who had virtue love brought to completion in her heart. She married an unbeliever, my dad. She continued to operate with impersonal love for all. Oh, there were barriers that were brought up, most of them by my dad. And my mom, those barriers were taken down by impersonal love for all. And the fulfillment, what it says here, it says, you Christian wives, that's my mom, who are married to unbeliever husbands, that's my dad. For what do you know whether you will save your... My mom continued to operate with impersonal love for my dad and tore down all those barriers that were being put up. And you know what? My dad believed in Jesus Christ as his Savior. He is in heaven. Now, my mom, my dad built, what were some of the barriers my dad built? Well, my dad, he loved his booze. Well, I mean, after all, when your name is Ole, you're going to drink Olympia beer. But here's how my dad drank Olympia beer. He drank Olympia beer with a whiskey chaser. And then he got a little unstable. And then my mother thought she was giving him the gospel. You got to stop drinking like that. You will never wind up in heaven. I said, Mom, is that the grace gospel? Don't get on to it. You know what? When you tell him, don't do that. You know what happens to an unbeliever when you tell him, don't do something? What happens when you put a sign up, don't walk on the grass? Everybody walks on the grass. When you say don't drink like that, they're going to drink more than ever before. But my mom continued to operate with impersonal love for all. And dad would put up barriers, and mom just operated with impersonal love for all and continued to love my dad. And then I wound up believing in Christ as my Savior. My brother Don believed in Christ as his Savior. My brother Mike believed in Christ as his Savior. My sister Judy believed in Christ as her Savior. My brother Dave believed in Christ. And I told all of them, I said, you, every chance you get, you give Dad the grace gospel, the grace gospel. And we did. Again and again and again, we gave Dad the grace gospel. And he believed in Jesus Christ as the Savior. And he came down to visit. He came down to visit. And he had a real bad back. He fell about three stories in a construction accident and broke his back. And we had lousy chairs at that time, not like nice ones now. So he sat in the back. And after class was over, Dad and... he never said anything like this. He says, Rich, the world needs more men like you teaching what you're teaching. But that was from my dad. I mean, that was the greatest compliment I could ever receive. Because when I first told him, Dad kept asking me, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And so when God showed me I had the gift of pastor teacher, I drove all the way up where Dad was on his job, went out on the job site. I said, Dad, he's got a pipe in his mouth and his hard hat and his overalls. And I said, Dad, I know what I'm supposed to do the rest of my life. My dad smiled. Yeah, what is it? I'm going to be, God gave me the gift of pastor teacher. And he bit down and bit the pipe in two. And he says, you're not going to be one of those blankety blank blank preachers. And I said, oh no, I'm not going to be one of those guys. I'm going to be a pastor teacher. That was his first initial. But you know what? He believed in Christ, and he started listening to the teaching of the Word, and he changed his thinking. And then the marriage between my mom and my dad, that was the best days of their lives, the best ever of their lives at that time. That's what we have here. So, one, in context, impersonal love function results in solving marital problems. In the context of 1 Corinthians 7, 15 and 16, impersonal love function results in solving marital problems. Two, impersonal love function leads to reconciliation. The removing of barriers. Solving all personal relationship problems. Impersonal love function leads to reconciliation. The word for it there is peace. That's a technical word for reconciliation. Three, so reconciliation is the removal of barriers. Four, impersonal love motivates reconciliation. It motivates the removing of barriers in personal relationships. Impersonal love motivates reconciliation. It motivates the removing of barriers in personal relationships. And we see this principle taught by the reconciliation work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. His impersonal love directed toward all mankind. Removing the barrier between God and man by his work on the cross. Five, the Lord Jesus Christ removed the barrier between God and man by functioning under perfect virtue love. The Lord Jesus Christ removed the barrier between God and man by functioning under perfect virtue love. First of all, he was motivated by his personal love for God the Father to carry out the Father's incarnation plan. So first of all, he was motivated by his personal love for God the Father to carry out the Father's incarnation plan. And secondly, he had perfect impersonal love for all mankind. Because he picked up his cross and went to Golgotha in spite of the fact that he had been rejected and ridiculed and mocked and laughed at and scorned and given an unfair trial and beaten and spat upon and thorns crushed on his head and crucified. He had perfect impersonal love for all mankind because he willingly picked up his cross and went to Golgotha in spite of all of these things that man did to him. Six, God the Father and God the Son solved the problem of man's total depravity and spiritual death through impersonal love for all. God the Father and God the Son solved the problem of man's total depravity and spiritual death through impersonal love for all. Now, if God has dealt with us If he, here's mankind, told the depravity of spirit, if God dealt with us based on who and what we are, he would have said, you're done. You're all destroyed. I think I'll create a new batch. First batch didn't turn out too well. I'll just kill you all and make a new batch. But he didn't deal with us based on who and what we were. He operated on his integrity and virtue and impersonal love for all. 7. But God put virtue first. He put integrity first in impersonal love for all mankind. God put virtue first, integrity first in impersonal love for all mankind. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Now all these things are from God, God the Father, the one who reconciled us to himself, the removal of barriers, through the agency of Christ. And he, God the Father, gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. He gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God the Father was in Christ reconciling the world, all mankind, to himself, not imputing their personal sins against them. And he hath committed to us the message of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. 8. As God put integrity first in impersonal love for all mankind, removing the barrier between God and man, as God put integrity first in impersonal love for all mankind, removing the barrier between God and man, so also the believer is given the mandate to put integrity first and impersonal love for all and remove the barriers in personal relationships. Just as God put integrity first and impersonal love for all mankind, removing the barrier between God and man, so also the believer is given the mandate to put integrity first and impersonal love for all and remove the barriers in personal relationships. So, point 9, impersonal love for all results in reconciliation and the removal of barriers in personal relationships. Impersonal love for all results in reconciliation and the removal of barriers in personal relationships. Well, this is verses 4 through 6, major part of 2 John. There's only a few verses. This is one of the major sections of this little letter. But a very, very important one. And while we taught 1 John, it's very important that we pull all these things together, that you get them bang, 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 and go over it. We'll take it up again next week. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.